From the Findlay Toyota Studio, it's Cofield and Company.
Alienate yourselves. Go. Go and alienate. You have my blessing.
I see you, boy. Hey, represent, baby. Yeah.
I'm ready to drink tonight, so.
No.
It's time for Cofield and Company with Steve Cofield on ESPN Las Vegas.
All right, here we go on this Tuesday. Ari steering the ship in the Findlay Toyota Studios, and we got Pritch back. Feels like he never left. Mike Pritchard is in with us, a local former NFL player, veteran of radio in Vegas and Denver. So what's going on, man? I don't even know when the last time we hung out. Who was it? Someone's birthday?
Oh, man. When was
that?
We
were downtown.
Yeah, we were downtown.
I forgot most of the night. We'll just say
that. Do you need a reason to hang out? We don't need a reason to hang out, right? Just hang out.
You weren't in town a whole lot.
Well, that's true. I was in and out a lot. I was in and out of town a lot. It was somebody's celebration. I know it got turned up, though.
I know.
You know what I'm talking about?
Yes, okay. Yes, I heard all about it. And that's why I said, I'm like, I have no idea whose celebration it was what happened at the end of the night, but I know a night happened. All right, let's do it, Ari.
It's time for the three. Presented by Dustin DeHart at Nova Home Loans. Call him today at 577-2600.
Right out of the gates, big NFL news that came down yesterday, and people have been processing it, trying to filter through what was said. Philip Rivers, it's official. He will no longer be a Charger. Long time in San Diego this last year or two. In L.A., there's a lot to tackle here. First of all, you're not surprised, right?
No, not even close to being surprised at this one. It's the family. It's the Spanos family. It's the Chargers organization. Do they ever get anything right? No. I mean, they got kicked out of their own city. Think about that. They got kicked out of their own city. They don't even want him back. San Diego, speaking of them, so they're looking for a home. They landed in a soccer stadium for a while. Now they're going to Kroenke's World. But no, not surprised at all that the way that Philip Rivers was let go. It's in lockstep with what the Chargers are all about and what they've been about since that family certainly has been with the ownership. And you think about the Chargers organization over the years, they screw things up left and right.
So what does that mean, what they're all about?
Well,
do they have a rep around the league as being?
Yeah, they're cheap.
Okay.
They don't care about the player. They don't care about winning. Think about that. They had the most talented roster at one point for, what, a five-year, six-year stretch?
Mm-hmm.
They didn't care about winning. They never have. And you think about their superstars, Junior Seau, was shown the door. Rodney Harrison, shown the door. LT, shown the door. Philip Rivers, shown the door. Screw up with Ryan Leaf. I mean, it goes on and on and on with that organization. You go to the front office, Bobby Bethard, Butler from Buffalo, fine a GM in his own right at the time. And it's just part of the norm with this organization. The league hates them. I'll say that right now. I think the ownership and the league hates the Chargers.
The commission?
Other owners. I mean, you think Kroenke wants to share his state-of-the-art facility out there with the Chargers? He doesn't want to share that.
Why, because of the clown show?
Well, the clown show, but just you're sharing a stadium that you're building with your Walmart money. You're building it, and yet you got to share it with the Chargers that, wait a minute, I don't think they've contributed one penny to this situation, to this stadium, or anything that Kroenke Worlds is all about, and yet you're going to share dates with them because they can't find a home. You have to house them because they can't find a home. That's how NF they are.
The dude is such a weak owner, Spanos, that, as you said at the beginning of the conversation, the NFL got booted from a city.
Right.
When does that ever happen?
Oh, man.
Because that situation was totally different than really any other where a team moved. Because in a lot of those cases, the city wasn't really given a chance to step up. Like, St. Louis really never had a shot to keep Kroenke around. Once he decided he was going to L.A., that was it. You know, Baltimore moving to Indianapolis. I mean, hell, the image of the Mayflower moving trucks in the middle of the night. Most cities don't get the chance. Modell, that one, he did to a certain extent, but Baltimore gave him a sweetheart deal. That was a vote of it basically came down to popularity. If that was a situation where the owner had a better relationship with the community, they may have stepped up to give him the money, or at least give him enough money to make it viable. But I also don't think Spanos was honest with San Diego. He knew L.A. was potentially in his back pocket. And there was a level of distrust. You know, it's funny. Players around the league don't trust Spanos and the Chargers.
Mm-hmm.
At the end, in San Diego, the fans didn't either.
Right.
Like, we're not giving you money.
Right.
Look at the way you've treated the players. You're probably going to do the same thing to us.
I talked to person after person in San Diego. I mean, from cabbies to restaurants to hotel operators. And they all said the same thing. We don't want the Chargers. We hate that family. They all said the same thing. And it's
and the sad thing is, they love football.
They do.
Because I know on the radio stations down there, they still do a ton of football. They still follow the Chargers.
Right.
Like, that can be a football city. And I always defend San Diego and the fans because people say, oh, you know, no one was going to the games. That stadium is the worst. It is such a freaking dump. And that's why people at the end, one, they didn't like Spanos. Two, and like, the rest of the league is building up with these beautiful palaces,
right,
all these amenities, and that stadium sucked.
Well, think about Cleveland. So Modell leaves, but what did the NFL say? We're going to reward you. We're going to put a franchise back there. It's not about you guys. It's the ownership and all this. And okay,
you don't think the NFL's ever going to do that for San Diego?
Well, no, it's
you don't
like
think they're gonna give a chance again?
I don't know if San Diego is going to trust the NFL. To be honest with you, because okay, the NFL, would they love a Super Bowl down in San Diego? Hell yes.
Yeah,
they don't have the opportunity now. You know, the Spanos family, you know, he left and then wanted to go back to get a stadium. And then, okay, we're going to do tourism. We're going to, you know, tax the tourists and all that stuff. We heard that around here, right?
Yeah.
But they like, nope, they voted that down out there. So it's the family. It's no relationship with the community. And you have to have that. You have to be in partnership with the community if you're going to have an NFL franchise work. In a particular city.
That's Pritch. He's in on Cofield and Company. He's here for all 3 hours. We'll be doing shows from time to time. All right, so we're bashing the Chargers. But what were they supposed to do, Mike?
Philip Rivers?
Rivers' performance last year went down. I don't think he's done. I still think he can play. But they want to move in a different direction. How are they supposed to handle this?
Well, they don't know how to handle it. One, I mean, I think they should have drafted or prepared a quarterback for Philip Rivers when he was going to be done anyway. They didn't do that. I mean, they traded for quarterback after quarterback.
They have Tyrod Taylor, man. The handwriting was on the wall.
I knew you were
going to
say
that.
Right. Well, I knew you were going to go there. You're not going to win a Super Bowl with Tyrod Taylor.
No, he's a bridge.
Right.
He's a bridge. They're going to have to draft a quarterback in this year's class.
Right. But this is how stupid the Chargers are. I'll go back to 1983. The great Dan Fouts, Hall of Famer. Great quarterback, right? 1983, they had three first-round draft choice. Who was in that 1983 draft class?
Arguably one of the best quarterback drafts in NFL history.
If not the best, right?
Uh-huh.
They could have not one, not twice, not three times, probably three times, could have on the third time, could have drafted Dan Marino to succeed Dan Fouts. Think about what that would have done with football in San Diego. You think that would have, you know, fostered a pretty nice relationship with the community? I think so. Increased the fandom? I think so.
Well,
maybe relations?
They had the fifth pick. And obviously Elway was the only one who was gone at that point.
Right.
They had the fifth pick and they took Billy Ray Smith, who you know, was a solid NFL player, good talk show host down there. They also took a running back at 20. And a cornerback at 22. My Jets, of course, nailed it with Ken O'Brien. And then Dan Marino did go 27. They had three chances to get Dan Marino.
Three of them. And they knew John Elway was going to be in the division for, I don't know, 17 years, right? You know that. And so you're going to – Dan Fouts' career was winding down at that point. But I go to – you know,
by the way, Jim Kelly went 14th.
Sure.
I mean, could have had him. Also could have Jim Kelly.
Could have had him, too.
With the first pick, the fifth pick.
But I circle back to, okay, Ryan Leaf, that disaster, you get over that. Okay, you get Drew Brees. Okay, you move on because of the injury with the shoulder, and you get Philip Rivers. And you never get to a Super Bowl. You had LT Tomlinson. You never get to a Super Bowl. Great coaches. Now, when you think about Philip Rivers, they didn't have a plan for Philip Rivers, for after Philip Rivers. They're playing in a soccer stadium, for Pete's sake, anyway. But then you think that franchise was even thinking about or contemplating what we're going to do when Philip Rivers is done?
I bet you Tom Telesco, the GM, was. I don't want to always blame the GM. I will blame one GM who we actually didn't roll in there, and that was A.J. Smith.
Okay.
Because A.J. Smith was the guy who was in charge.
Right.
in their glory era where they had all the talent around Phillip Rivers, and what happened? A.J. Smith couldn't get along with Marty Schottenheimer because his ego couldn't handle the fact that Schottenheimer was a bigger star, and off of 14-2 season, they moved on. And then, I swear to God, every year with the Chargers under Turner, every year seemed to start out 2-6.
Right. Right.
And then they would make a run at the end, and it's like, this team has as much talent as anyone. How are they not winning? And that, but again, that's on Spanos.
It is.
Spanos like A.J. Smith, so he kept him around, and kept him around until he had to finally boot him.
There's owners that love the business of football. He's one of them.
He loves the business.
Sure, sure. I mean, I'm in L.A. with the Chargers. Yeah, we're going to make it work. No, you're not.
Mike, and that's the thing. Why do you need a plan? Why do you need a plan? Because you're moving into a palace.
Because everything's coming easy
to you.
The
money's coming.
Right.
You don't even have to win. This is the Cubs model for, you know, freaking 100 years.
Cubs
are like, hey, Wrigley's an outdoor bar. The people are going to show up. They're stupid. We don't have to win. And then finally, they got some real owners, and they decided, hey, it's time to win.
Right. It's so bad, though, Steve, that everything is handed to this family. Like Conkey World, Phillip Rivers, for instance. I mean, they got a good coach in Anthony Lynn, I believe. They're loaded with talent right now. And so what do you hear? Oh, the plan is Tom Brady. They don't have the cash flow for Tom Brady. First of all, and then second of all, outside of offering a partial ownership, I don't know how Tom Brady's going to go there. I don't know why Tom Brady's going
to go
there.
Not have the cash flow?
They're
moving into a palace. They got the cash flow. What are you talking about? They don't have the cash flow.
They're
to
not
pay.
Spending it.
No, I mean, is that seems like a stretch. They don't now. If they're cheap, that's one thing. Come on, they have the cash flow to play. You know, if they have to pay Brady 2 for $60,
you think so?
Yes.
Okay, playing in a soccer stadium in the last 2 years. You ever been to a game there?
Yeah,
the visiting team.
Yeah,
it dominates. That
it's ridiculous. It's stupid.
So how are they making money? Where are they making money from? Whose jerseys are they selling? Whose jerseys
they're
have
saying
you seen?
The cash flow is only on hand once they get into the stadium.
TV revenue.
So it's unlike the Raiders. The Raiders have all this amazing cash flow because it's their stadium and they sold PSLs. Chargers can't sell PSLs either.
Right. PSLs are sold out for the Raiders. Raiders got cash flow now.
Chargers had to give up on that.
Sure, sure. So
they're going to have 25,000 seats at that stadium. Seriously,
right.
Listen to this. They're going to have 25,000 seats at that stadium that I think are $75 or less, and they were selling PSLs for $1.
Hmm. Yeah, okay. Tell me how they're going to get the money to sign Tom Brady. Where are they going to get that from? They're
going to mortgage. How can he not have money?
They have money. They have revenue streams, but it's kind of like the Raiders. They ran into that problem when that Hovel up in Oakland. You know, you run out of revenue streams. You run out of ways to produce revenue, and I think the Chargers are there. That's really why they're sharing Kroenke's world anyway. They not only did they alienate themselves from San Diego. They can't find a stadium. St. Louis didn't want them. And now you have to settle, and so does the rest of the National Football League. They have to settle on the fact that you need to share a stadium. That relationship is not going to last, by the way.
On the way back, we're going to hear what Dean Spanos said, because it was insert foot in mouth big time, just a really goofy message. And you wonder, like, how does this guy own an NFL team?
The Three is brought to you by Dustin DeHart at Nova Home Loans. Call today at 577-2600 to receive a $500 coupon towards your appraisal or any purchase or refinance. Dial up Dustin now. 577-2600.
What do you want to tell Aaron?
I love him so much. He's my best friend.
What would you say to Aaron about losing to the 49ers?
It's okay. It's really hard being a Packers fan because we get so far and it just doesn't happen for us. But Aaron Rodgers is the man. He'll always will be.
Now, back to Cofield and Company in the Findlay Toyota studio.
That was a random post-surgery young lady all drugged up. Just going crazy over Aaron Rodgers, getting very emotional. I'm trying to think. I think there was an Eagles fan a few years back who was like that. Just a freaking mess. Total mess. Now, the running joke, and Mike Pritchard's here on Cofield and Company, the running joke with the Chargers is that there are no fans like that with Phillip Rivers. People are wrong, because I live with a Chargers fan, and she was really annoyed yesterday. She knew it was coming. But she was really annoyed yesterday with the way the Phillip Rivers thing went down. She loves Rivers. He's one of those guys where if he's on your team, and you're a fan of that team, you get him, you love him. If he's not on your team, you hate his guts because he looks annoying. He's, you know, he's always whining out there. He's, you know, he had a, I forget the who the exchange was with, maybe it was a player on the Titans, a defensive player, and Rivers is just, he's just a child. Like, he's so competitive, like, it's not even making sense. But, you know, when he's on your team, you love him, and now the Chargers are, and the fans are looking for a new quarterback. They're looking at a new quarterback situation. There's a lot of people who are annoyed with the way it ended. Dean Spanos, he's an interesting guy, man. He should not be out front on any of the stuff, and this is where he kills himself. Spanos said, Pritch, through 16 seasons, 224 consecutive starts, and more dadgummits and shoots than any of us can count. Not only has Philip Rivers been our quarterback, he's been the heart and soul of our organization. Okay, it's not bad, right? Not bad. He wore a bolo tie and cowboy boots to games. All right, what's happening here? He introduced, I don't know what, is that that dirty hat he wears, like Nunk Kuepi? He wears the same hat all the time. I think it's something along the lines of, I don't know what it is.
Like a trucker hat.
No, but the saying, Ari, look that up. It's
get on it, Ari.
It's like a, I feel like it's like a carpe diem. He always went out of his way to interact with fans, and he even made fans of nuns. What is he doing? Over the years, I think he broke just about every team record in the book, and simply put, it was just fun to watch him play football. There's only one Philip Rivers, and we've been fortunate to call him our QB1 for the better part of two decades. We cannot thank Philip enough for giving it his all in every single down and for the memories he created that will last a lifetime. There you go.
Thank you very much, Dean. Thank you very much. First of all,
is Dean in town? Dean owns a lot of property in town. He could be a future neighbor of Tom Brady if Brady did buy up in the Summit. I think Dean's got a condo up there.
Okay. Very nice.
A lot of money. He's got a lot of money.
Good for him.
But that's not the way to send off Philip Rivers?
No, not even close.
What'd you want? Mutual parting of the ways.
You know, a little respect would be great. Like
bolo, tie, shirt, whatever he said.
Who's going to be better than Philip Rivers, honestly?
Oh, now this is a whole different discussion.
Sure, but okay, let's go back to Philip Rivers and how tough he is and how he's a competitor. Philip Rivers had me at playing on ACL, torn ACL. Mm-hmm. He had me there. One of the more competitive quarterbacks you can find. The guy played on a torn ACL, AFC championship game, whatever. And he understood what it took to play at that level. He knew the sacrifices, right? And to me, I think when you have a quarterback that sacrificed the way that he did, wasn't outspoken, didn't speak against ownership, didn't use his platform to commute. He made the best of the situation. I'm not going to leave San Diego. I'm just going to commute. I'm going to make the best of the situation. I'm going to dress up a shuttle and drive up to this soccer stadium that this ownership made us play in. I played 16 away games for 2 years. If you're Philip Rivers, if you're a superstar like that.
See you, Phil.
I think you have room to gripe.
Yeah.
But he didn't. And then Dean gives him this send-off. I mean, I just think it lacks class, one. Two, lacks tact. I don't think Dean Spanos even knows about tact. Doesn't even care about that. But it shows you the true hand of that family. They don't want to win. They don't care about winning. They care about the bottom line and the business of football, and that's it. And so a player that you say sacrificed so much and did so much for your franchise, he has to find somewhere else to play. And then you talk about him in this manner.
Well, good. That hat is perfect because it means now I begin. So now he's beginning a second phase of his career.
Okay.
I don't hate the decision. If they want to go younger, they want to draft someone. I don't think they should have a big drop-off. Not with the talent they have. I mean, that would be stupid. And it goes back to your point originally. If you're going to get rid of him, then you better have a plan in place. And I trust that Telesco has a plan in place, whether it's, you know, Tyrod Taylor plus Tua plus Herbert plus Jordan Love, whoever you want to throw out there.
Yeah, but how is it supposed to happen? I mean, think about Brett Favre. Yeah, he didn't want to leave, but the Packers basically say, okay, we got a plan for you.
But that was very bitter at the end, too.
Sure it was, but we got a plan for you.
But you're right. They had Aaron Rodgers sitting on the bench for a couple of years.
Think about the Giants. Eli Manning just retired.
Yeah, at least they had Daniel Jones.
We got a plan for
ready
you.
Ready to go.
Look at the Chargers. They don't have a plan. They don't know what a plan is.
It's Tyrod Taylor. It's Tyrod Taylor and draft a quarterback. Or maybe they're going to surprise us and be in the running for, you know, Cam Newton. Or maybe they decide, hey, Tyrod's not the bridge guy. It's Nick Foles.
Yeah, I know this is going to upset your everyday company. But the only reason why Tyrod's there is because Anthony Lynn is there. When they change the head coach, Tyrod Taylor's not going to be there anymore.
Wait a second. What do you mean when they change the head coach?
when that happens. I don't know when.
Is that going to happen after next year?
Hey, man, I'm
telling
you.
Actually, is he being set up?
Possibly.
If they don't have a plan and the bridge quarterback's not good enough, is Anthony Lynn basically being set up to be dumped after having, you know, two good years out of the gates, and then this last year they fell?
I forgot about another great name. Eric Weddle just retired. But he didn't retire as Charger, though, right?
They treated Weddle like crap.
Of course.
Weddle is really bitter.
Of course.
Yeah, and you can go back. Like, they bailed on Michael Turner. Even though they had some running back depth, they bailed on Vincent Jackson.
Yep.
There's a lot of bitter partings.
Look at Gordon. Gordon's about to have a bitter parting.
And the way they just handled Melvin Gordon, yeah, that was a mess.
It goes on and on and on. I don't need more examples, I hope, but
Joey Bosa wasn't even in the league yet. Right? He wasn't even in the league yet.
Right. Right.
And let's go back to the beginning of this whole thing. There's probably a guy out there or a family out there who's like, hey, Phillip, we told you what was going to happen here. We told you at some point you're going to be unhappy. You know who that is? The Manning family. Because the Manning family was like, yeah, we're not playing there.
No, we're not going there.
Eli's not going there.
Right. And it was primarily because of the family. You think about, okay, Bobby Beathard, I know Bobby really well. My agent and, you know, they were friends. And I've known Bobby since I was in college. But it's a cesspool out there. I mean, it really is. It's that bad, man. I talked to a number of players just recently that played there, and I'm like, that was one of the worst mistakes I've ever made going there. Even though I got paid well, it's just the situations. We were never going to win. In fact, my career, I believe, is now over because I played with the San Diego Chargers. That was a direct quote to me. And it's like, man, that's pretty bad. I'm glad I never had it like that as a player. But, you know, that happens. From players' point of view, you know, and these are the insights, really, and the fans need to know this, is some owners just don't care about winning. And deep down as a fan, you know that. Like, if you're a Charger fan, you know that your team doesn't care about winning. If you're a Cincinnati Bengals fan, you know your team doesn't care about winning.
Jets.
Okay.
I feel like they're trying, but it usually flops.
They're doing a great job of trying. At least they're putting up the perception that they're trying, right? But are they really trying? I mean, I don't know. I don't know the extent of how they're going about trying. I mean, I think drafting Sam Darnold was a good move. They're trying to keep some players there. They're going to lose Robbie Anderson probably, but
we are on our way, Pritch. This is a conversation for another day. Okay. So Pritch is back. Pritch will be sort of a jack of all trades, utility guy, bouncing around to different shows. We are thrilled to have Pritch on the staff as a former athlete. Now, former athletes on shows, TV and radio, don't always work. It can be dicey sometimes. I'm telling you, ESPN made a hire, and it's taken like a month. I'm already convinced this guy needs to go because he's a dangerous individual.
ESPN Las Vegas.
Hey, Raiders on three. One, two, three.
Raiders.
Home of the Raiders fan. Now, back to Cofield and Company in the Findlay Toyota studio.
People might hate this conversation, but listen, I don't think we have a great show, but I have some pride in the show, and we do things on the show certain ways. And I think one of the most important things on the show is to make sure we're prepped and that everyone on the show is contributing, because I could sit here and just do Cofield topics, but that would be lame. So I want everyone to give their input. So we've actually, I mean, Ari can attest to this. We have a crew every day. You know, you guys listening, we have different people on every day. That's why it's company. And everyone contributes, right? And it's one of the things that has always driven me nuts about athletes, the jockocracy. Mike Pritchard, former NFL player, in radio here again. He's back with us. But it's one of the things that's always driven me nuts. And I haven't done a ton of shows with athletes. I did a bunch on Sirius XM, and I saw it firsthand. I'm like, man, this person's not interested in prepping. Like, they're not sending ideas in. This is lame. It's got to be a collaborative effort. You worked around other athletes in radio. How many times have you talked to another radio guy and like, dude, you're lazy, man? what happened to when you were a professional athlete? You had all these habits where you practiced, you worked on your craft. You got to be thinking about it all the time. Why aren't you doing that now? You ever have that conversation with someone, or at least they let you down, where they're like, hey, okay, what are we doing today?
More often than I wanted to. How about that?
Yeah.
And I had to work with them. So it was both sides, really. From, you said jockocracy?
Jockocracy. It's a term that Howard Cosell came up with because he could see that, like Monday Night Football, right. for example, you had these ex-athletes coming into the booth,
mm-hmm.
and it would drive him nuts because there was this divide between the broadcast professionals and these guys who just walk in, you know, and think it doesn't take any prep, any thinking to do shows.
No,
Jockocracy.
Okay, I get that. I get that. And certainly, I didn't want to fall prey to that.
Mike on the spot.
One of the things I took pride in is the fact that, look, I have respect. If I'm going to do media or do anything in media, I have respect to the fact that, okay, I'm sitting across from a journalist. I'm sitting across from somebody who went to broadcasting school that got training for this. I got training in the National Football League. Yeah, I got an economics degree, whatever, but that didn't prepare me for football. I got prepared for football differently. So I'm not going to pretend that I am above board with somebody who went to school and they're applying their craft right now, right? Mm-hmm. So I never had the jockocracy mindset. But, yeah, there's guys that are incredibly lazy that are only surviving on the name. But they don't last very long.
No, they don't.
You know, you got the Eric Dickersons.
Because there's too many athletes who do care, and you're seeing guys, you know, rise through the ranks,
right.
and other guys go by the wayside because there's tons of athletes who want to do this because you can make nice money doing it. So I think most people are getting the message. There's also sports talk radio and TV is also ever evolving, and you kind of have to get what we're doing. First of all, like I just sounded really serious 4 minutes ago. Like this is really important. It's really not that important. We're doing a show. It's for entertainment. There are going to be times that both the athlete and the traditional journalist, radio guy, TV guy, are going to go crazy, right? But at the end of the show, you got to be able to walk away and go, good job. You know, there was a purpose there. Hey, let's get the audience involved. And we got to, I don't like fake debates, but if we have a real debate, walk away at the end, good job. Don't, you know, feel like you got embarrassed. I mean, it's just a sports argument. In the end, who cares? Now, I'll give you one guy that I think he's adjusting, but when he first came in, Steve Smith, the former NFL receiver, Steve Smith's a hothead, mm-hmm. right? And Steve Smith is a guy who, hey, the fuel that made him into a good NFL player was the fact that he was 5'9", he's 185 pounds, he got overlooked, he had to go to JUCO, and you know, I'm sure all along the way they're like, hey, little guy, you can't play in the NFL. Well, that's what drove him every time he went on the field, but I was also in Carolina for a year covering the Panthers when he first got there, and he just beat the living crap out of a guy in film session. He had other fights, right? Like, that's who he is. And when he first started working for NFL Network, we noticed a couple times, we're like, he's going to fight Michael Irvin. He's getting so, like, it's a debate, dude. And even Shaq and Barkley are awesome, but they're like brothers, and sometimes it goes too far. It's funny, but, like, you can't start fighting. So we got a guy on ESPN now. In Matt Barnes, right? Matt Barnes has a bad history. Matt Barnes is a violent dude, which I don't understand how you don't process, because that applies to all of us, Mike. Listen, if we got radio guys who, you know, Jay Mariotti ain't working anymore. You know why? Because he knocked around a woman on multiple occasions. He doesn't have self-control, and he's a douchebag,
mm-hmm.
right?
Mm-hmm.
You don't want to play nice with management, but why would you want a, you know, serial woman abuser in your building? Right? It's not a good look. And more importantly, is everyone in the building safe with someone like that around? So Matt Barnes is a guy who's got, he's got a domestic violence arrest back to 2010. He's got high profile issues with his ex, Gloria Govan. People sort of laughed at this whole thing where he tried to beat the crap out of Derek Fisher. But like, if I'm an employer, can he turn this off? Can he flip that switch and stay calm and be a composed media guy? Well, here's Nick Wright on FS1. Nick Wright is laying out the argument that GSW made a bad trade for Andrew Wiggins. And he comes strong with the comment that, you know, Wiggins isn't good.
Wiggins is a bad basketball player. He's owed $95 million over the next 3 years, starting next year. It's unspeakable they did this. It's over for them now. We will never see Steph in another NBA Finals, ever. They have no path forward.
Okay, strong take. That's what we do. In a way, I agree with them. I don't think they helped their salary flexibility mm-hmm. with Andrew Wiggins. I would have kept D'Lo, D'Angelo Russell. I think he's more marketable, more tradable. I don't know what they're going to do now. It seems like they've kind of locked themselves in. Give us the second part of the comment.
Draymond, Wiggins, Clay, and Steph next year, $128 million for the cap. Cap's $115. Mm-hmm. They have no way to get better now. And you can say, oh, well, now they have their top five pick. If Minnesota's terrible next year, a good pick there. Young players do not help you in the playoffs, unless you're the Raptors.
So here's Matt Barnes, who sees this because, you know, we send these clips out. They go viral. It's a strong take from Nick Wright on FS1. Matt Barnes goes, you're an analyst. Remember that. You were never good enough to play sports, so you have to talk about it. You're going to call a man who's a career 20-point-per-game scorer a bad player? Next time you want to disrespect another pro athlete, remember, you were never S, so you get paid to talk S. They went back and forth, and then at the end, Matt Barnes basically said, watch yourself.
Oh.
I know where you live. Which, like, we laugh at, but, like,
he
actually went to someone's house and tried to beat up Derek Fisher.
Right.
And is this a fireable offense? No, but I can tell you this. If I'm Rachel Nichols and I'm hosting The Jump and Matt Barnes is there, now I got to start to think, okay, he already had issues with Gloria Govan. He's now threatening a guy on Fox.
Yeah.
Like, do I want him on the set with me? And I can tell you this. In this world now, this is a good thing. If you're a man and you're making women feel uncomfortable, you ain't going to work. You're not working around women.
Yeah.
So what would you tell Matt Barnes?
Well,
like, dude, you already have a reputation as being a freaking nut job and getting in fights.
This is
the second part of your career now. If you're going to be a media guy, arguments happen.
Right.
You can't start cursing at everyone and telling them, I know where you live. Is that going to be every argument? Is he going to beat the crap out of Paul Pierce one day?
This is what I would say to Matt. You were good up until you said, I know where you live. Because what he said in response to Nick was basically what listeners say.
Mm-hmm.
Like you don't know what you're talking about, dude. What are you saying? This guy's got this stat. He's got that stat. And you're going to come off the top with that kind of an opinion? You don't have any idea what you're talking about. Stop. Right there, Matt. That's good. That's a great take. That's a great response to that, right? But when you push it and then you get into the locker room and then all of a sudden I know where you live, that kind of thing, there's a reason why there's a sign in an NFL locker room, do not at any time bring a firearm in a locker room because emotions get involved. See, as an analyst, as an entertainer, as a sports talk radio host, whatever your role is as an ex-athlete, you got to cut it off. You know, there's ways, there's competition. You know, in my sport, there's aggressiveness that you can unleash your frustration or you can get that out of your system, right? But in this realm, when you're talking on a mic or if you're in front of a camera, you can't come off like that. You just can't do that. So I'm not giving an excuse for Matt, but I would if I were to encounter him, if I had to talk to him, I was like, man, you're good. You're good up until this point. Mm-hmm. And that's the only thing I would say to him. I love the response from Matt, you know, because that's what half the listeners are saying about mm-hmm. Nick Wright anyway. But that's what Nick Wright wants. He wants
he
to be.
You. He got you, and
right.
He got you so much
right.
that you threw what appears to be a threat at
exactly.
the end of the thread. Are you stupid? You just bought into what he wants. And from a workplace standpoint, listen, if they were ever on a show together, it would be fascinating TV, just like Shaq and Barkley mm-hmm. are. But I don't know, moving forward, can you book Matt Barnes with non or dudes who didn't play in the NBA, is he going to flip out the same way? And then all of a sudden, are those guys, you know, if it's George Sedano, who's really good on the NBA, sideline reporter, is George Sedano going to go into a set with Matt Barnes and go, I can't argue with this guy because he's going to fight me?
And that's real because I actually had meetings with program directors. I've had meetings with producers. Said, look, man, I mean, how strong can I get with this? how sensitive is that guy? You know, yeah. If you're paired up and you haven't worked with somebody, you don't know. You don't know if somebody's going to explode based on your opinion or based on your take. And so
I've listened to you in Vegas with people where it got super testy.
Yeah, but
like we got real testy.
But, it got
but you weren't gonna you're not gonna fight each other.
No, it got testy because it's a discussion that needed to get testy, but yet we knew how to dial it down afterwards though. Right? You go have a beer and hang out and go to dinner or whatever. But I don't know about Matt Barnes yet. I mean, like you said, he's got a track record. You know, is this guy really going to go look up Nick Wright? Is he going to do something? I mean, that is real. That's a real thought. By the way,
there are lots of us who think of doing stuff like that. Matt Barnes does it.
I think about it
every day.
Right.
But I don't do it.
You don't do it. Yeah. So.
So, like, again, like, I'm not going to sit here and say Matt Barnes is crazy. He just will go over that line. A lot of us have craziness in us.
Well, I'm glad you brought it up because, you know, guys have gone over that line in the locker room.
Sure.
You know, you're having competitive, what do they call it, competitive banter? Is that what they say
yeah.
on TV?
Yeah.
You know, the way that Stephen A. and Max go at it, that leads to something else in the locker room, like which is a fight,
yeah.
right? You can't do that. But now you're on the mic, and a lot of times when Stephen A. and Max, they go at it, I don't know if they're in the same studio sometimes. I mean, sometimes he's on a camera and Max is on the other camera, right? I don't know if they've ever physically talked to each other that way, you know, in person, next door to each other. But when you do that, when you have that competitive banter, you got to be able to control it. And we'll see if Matt Barnes can do that.
Join the conversation on Twitter at ESPN Las Vegas.
The fact that you have Best and Bellinger, I mean, that's Anthony Davis and LeBron James. That's two of the top five players in baseball that, you know, Mookie Betts beat you in every way possible. Range, glove, arm, base running, hitting, power. He'll even go across from Staples Center to that bowling alley and bowl 300. That's how good he is.
Now, back to Cofield and Company in the Findlay Toyota Studio.
We've got another part of our great Sky Diamonds giveaway coming up at 4:39. The Sky Diamond sounder plays at 4:39. So next hour, listen for that sounder, caller 14. When you hear the sounder at 4:39, wins a pair of Vegas Golden Knights tickets, and you're qualified to win the $1,000 Sky Diamonds gift card. Sky Diamonds, located in Town Square, where Las Vegas gets engaged. So we came into today's Cofield and Company going like 1,000 miles an hour. We have a ton of stuff to hit. It's kind of what we do every day. But we should welcome Mike back. Mike Pritchard's back. Why'd you come back? I thought you were doing great in Denver. You loved it up there. You missed the weather down here? You have a lot of relationships down here, too.
Yeah, I have a lot of relationships. This is home. You know, when I left, Colorado was my second home, and I went out there, you know, as my second home. A lot of relationships out there, too. But I just needed to get back here, man. Something about Vegas. It's once you're out, pulls you back in, that kind of saying, that kind of cliche. But it's true. You know, when you grow up here, I pine to come back here. I wanted to get back here, so I'm back here, and it, for various reasons. But no, I when I look at it now, it's been a million miles an hour because I don't know if my feet are on the ground yet. But no, it feels comfortable, and that's what I love. That's why I wanted to be comfortable. And I needed to be comfortable, certainly. I just turned 50, man. So, I'm old, but I wanted to be comfortable, and Vegas is comfortable for me.
Damn. How's 50 feel?
Great.
Does it?
Yeah, man.
I'm like 7 weeks away. It doesn't feel that great. Yeah.
I got a ton of energy.
Do you?
Yeah, man.
Oh, I have energy.
Okay.
It's just depressing, the number.
Oh, the 5-0?
Yeah.
No, don't embrace it. Because if you fight it, you're in trouble. Yeah, I'm not going to lie to you. If you fight it, no, embrace it. I'm 50, but don't feel it. You know, I feel like
I was
like
celebrating
I'm still
last
40.
Night, actually.
Okay.
Yeah, I celebrate on many nights.
I'm going to celebrate the entire year. Ooh. I mean, I've earned this, right? I made it to 50. Not a lot of people. I mean, there's some people I know didn't make it to 50.
Hmm.
People I played with didn't make it to 50. I made it to 50. I'm like, I'm celebrating this an entire year.
I never thought about that. I earned this. I made it.
I earned it, man.
I made
Absolutely.
It.
Absolutely.
I was ready to celebrate last night. As most of the audience knows and thinks, I really hate Adam Hill. But we were hanging out. We just happened to meet up at the same spot. Someone brings out, I guess it's a new Nintendo that has all the old games, right? I guess there's like a Nintendo unit where they've got like just hundreds of games. Adam is playing one of his friends in some old hockey games, and he is just slaughtering them. And he's a competitive dude, Adam Hill. And, I mean, the other guy's getting really mad. Adam's, you know, he's on cloud nine because he's kicking his ass. And they have Tecmo Bowl and Super Tecmo Bowl. Now, I think most people who play those games are like, oh, you know, I was great. Like, in your little group, you may have been the best. So they play one game. He kills some guy. And I'm like, you know what? I haven't played, like, literally since, like, the late 90s. But I'll give it a try.
Mm-hmm.
And I did not use enough ball control in game one. Because I was thinking about this. I'm like, I don't really know the controller anymore. It's very simple, but I don't know if I'm playing defense the right way. I had, there's an issue with my finger where the controller was, there. A lot of excuses here. I needed to tape it up. But anyway, long story short, he beats me the first game. And I'm like, looking at the stats. I'm like, oh, I remember this game's really cool. And I had the Eagles and Randall Cunningham, who I used to like playing on Super Tecmo Bowl. And I just didn't manage the game the right way. And I lost. I think I lost 28-14. So then we load up another game. I win. There's 30 seconds left. Like, the game's clinched. Mm-hmm. And I'm like, oh, I want to look at the stats here when it ends. The screen's black. I'm like, dude, what'd you do? And he turned it off. I was like, well, this is just like the 90s. How many people did I play around where they're like, reset. It's bull crap. The controller's broken. Stupid game. Too many turnovers. I'm like, okay, Adam, sore loser.
Wow.
Just dominates everyone. So that may be that could be a story I tell forever. It's boring, but first 50 years, at 49 and like 7/8, I can still win a Tecmo, at least a game.
That's not
against
bad.
A young whippersnapper. He's
and
not
you haven't
young.
Played it in I don't know how long. How many years was it? You said you have
probably
played?
late '90s.
Late '90s.
Yeah. I still got it.
See, I think it was 3 years ago. You're walking through certain stores, and I saw the Atari game.
Mm-hmm.
But it's like upgraded because you got all the Atari games on one console. You don't have to switch the tapes in and out.
Right.
The same. Tapes, same. The tapes. I know. Same joystick. Right.
Get a blow on it. It's not working. Blowing it.
Same joystick and little button. Right. Yeah. And so you're trying to play. What was the very first game? Was it Pong?
What an amazing breakthrough for all of us. We're like, this is great. Pong!
I'm trying to move the whatever you are you're to terrible. Find the ball. I couldn't do it.
Mm.
Yeah. So. You got skills, man. I guess if you can still play Tecmo Bowl after all these years.
That was it. That's where it's cut off.
Yeah.
Because I watch the games now. They've got way too many buttons.
Right.
There's buttons on top.
Oh,
I'm like, I'm out.
A, B, C, and 1, 2, 3 or whatever on the controller. Yeah,
Smart enough.
Nah, I think I'm going to give you credit here because I couldn't even tell you where I would begin to play Tecmo Bowl. I haven't played it in forever. So... Yeah, go
we'll
get Bo
take,
Jackson.
Yeah, apparently, you're making dates with everyone here to catch up. So that's what we'll do. We'll have you go out, and if you can beat Adam Hill, then he'll probably break the machine.
I'm just gonna play with Bo Jackson and see what happens.
Oh, that was
right?
Outlawed, actually.
Oh, it's
we
outlawed. You guys got rules.
Well, we outlawed both the Lions and the Raiders because the Lions have Barry Sanders,
right.
And they also have I think the best defense in the history of football, the Jerry Ball defense. Mm-hmm. Basically, Jerry Ball you have to shotgun. Every play, because Jerry Ball can sack you instantly. The quarterback can't drop back.
Okay.
And Barry Sanders is ridiculous. And then Bo Jackson can't be tackled, so we ban both of those teams.
So you need to find a programmer that whichever team you play
right.
has the algorithm for Bo Jackson or Barry Sanders.
Now we're going to do that in.
Why not? You got the technology. You can do that
Wouldn't
now,
that be
right?
great?
That'd be awesome.
To rig the game, and then Adam Hill sitting there, and he's like, what's going on here?
wait, that looks like Bo Jackson,
like,
but it's not.
Like Bo Jackson's not as effective as it used to be.
No, this isn't Bo Jackson. This is Willis. What is it? Hillis or whatever. Peter Hillis, whatever his name was.
Peyton Hillis great in that game.
Is he?
Yeah. I think so. Or maybe that was later in the
There's another white running back.
Mike Allstott.
Okay, now you can't get away with that with Mike Allstott.
What, he's not white?
Well, no, you can't get away with the Bo Jackson algorithm or Barry Sanders algorithm with Allstott.
I used San Fran, which was sneaky. I had good success with Tom Rathman.
Okay, Tom Rathman. Mm-hmm. See, like, you can't get Christian McCaffrey. CMC in there,
oh,
right?
Oh, my God.
Where's the algorithm for that?
I don't know.
And say that's Allstott. Do that.
Why are you trying to go next level and break the game? Break the code on the game.
I think Tecmo Bowl needs to go next level that way.
I don't know what you're talking about right now. We had a comment on the way back. That was Jim Bowden on 570 LA. Sorry, I wanted to get to that too, aside from my goofy story about Super Tecmo Bowl. Dodgers are loaded. Is this bad for baseball?
No.
Is it bad for baseball that even some of the evil empire teams like the Red Sox are throwing the towel in on paying the highest price guys?
Mm-mm. I mean, Tampa Bay threw in the towel. They still made the playoffs.
Yeah. There's lots of different ways you can win.
Yeah. The Yankees and the Dodgers, they outspend everybody. I have, World Series. Where is it? No, I don't think it's bad. I think you need to grow the game. More stars. I would love to see that. I mean, you got stars and superstars going to different markets. You got Nolan Arenado out there in Colorado. You got, is it Machado? He's down there in San Diego for now, right?
Arenado for now.
Sure. I mean, Chicago, they got their stars. I mean, certainly Cleveland, people. I mean, I don't think it's bad. Teams are going to try to outspin, but whether they win or not, they still need to do that. They still need to get the results. But I think it's great to have movement in the offseason, though. And so, to me, baseball needs to embrace what the NFL does. And the NFL is a calendar year discussion because of what happens in offseason.
Baseball's always tried to – well, they're always trying to keep salaries down.
Sure.
They don't want big contracts, so they ruin the excitement. Like two off-seasons ago, last off-season, they let Harper and Machado go all the way until basically February, and there was no chatter the entire way because they tried to mute the conversation, and they had two 20-somethings who were going to get record contracts, and you got no buzz out of it. Baseball is really weird. This hour is brought to you by Dustin DeHart at Nova Home Loans. Call him today, 577-2600. He's helped thousands of clients get the best home loan possible and refinance into a better one. You need a second opinion on a quote you have now or need to finally get that mortgage tune-up done. Now is the time to call, especially the mortgage tune-up. I'm telling you, it's amazing. Dustin DeHart, Nova Home Loans, 577-2600. We check in with the First Take fellas, right? Pritch was just talking about Max and Stephen A. as they got into it. This is one of the favorite topics on this show. LeBron and the Lakers and the way they're handling the regular season, I think it is horrendous.
Visit Cofield's Corner on LVSportsNetwork.com for access to the latest podcasts and best interviews.